The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Murricap News for Thursday, the 26th of June, 2025. I'm still laughing at Trump yesterday, that press conference he did. It was hilarious. He's a funny guy. He's really funny. We blew that nuclear bunker to kingdom come. That's what he said. He blew it to kingdom come. He called the head of the Fed stupid, unintelligent. I don't think he's very clever at all. Well, he's a bit stupid. I told him lower interest rates. I do believe Trump's right on that. The debt, American debt, is killing them. $37 trillion. Anyway, I'm going to change the format of the podcast a bit. I'm not going to bother covering crap companies that come up with news, because there's lots of them. You know, a load of them on AIM. That's the problem with AIM. In fact, IG have just come out with a Save Our Stock Market to Fix London, about the outflows and all that stuff, and cutting stamp duty. Apparently we're the only country that has stamp duty. I don't know if that'll fix it, to be honest. Stamp duty, what is it, 0.5% tax levy? Does that bother you too much? I don't know. I think the markets are running again. Interest rates come down. Honestly, it'll fix it. That's the problem. But you can't have... What did they get? They got $4.4 billion in revenue, the government, from stamp duty last year. Trouble is, if they keep sort of seeing it as a cow to milk all the time, you can only milk it so much. In the end, there's no more milk. The cow withers and dies. I don't know if that's strictly true. I'm trying to think of an analogy where you just keep taking from a tree, maybe, you know, chopping all the branches off that's producing the fruit. In the end, you just kill the tree. You know, you can't keep doing that. You can't milk it all the time. I think Labour's starting to come around. It's, you know, if you raise costs on business, it squeezes them, it strangles them. Should lower costs, you get more tax because they employ more people. You know, more people spend in the economy. Shops and all that get, you know, more revenue, so more tax. Those people pay more tax and the economy grows. You increase taxes, employers don't employ more people, they can't spend more, they go on the dole. Is it still called a dole? I don't know if it is. Let's look at the markets. I forgot to do this the other day. I didn't do a podcast yesterday because it's the Wednesday weekly webinar after the Shapers Investment Club, which I do every Wednesday, a live weekly webinar, and then it's uploaded to the website. And yesterday I covered seven traits of 7-10 baggers. And they do have seven traits, probably more actually. I'm going more into depth into finding these companies that outperform and find the traits. If you remember and not caught up in that, check it out. And I also cover a new section on the website, which aims to find these amazing companies. I had a bit of a glitch this morning, but the developers found what the glitch was and sorted it out. But it's going well. So I'm not going to cover rubbish stocks. In fact, you know what? I'm looking at these Bitcoin treasury stocks. Don't believe the people on bulletin boards and social media ramping these things, okay? Don't believe them. Bitcoin treasury stocks, they are like a dot-com bubble. They are a bubble. They pop and they drop. And you know, people will say to you on social media or on bulletin boards, it's a fast way of getting rich. It's not. It's not at all. It's a fast way of getting poor. Now, the one thing that these companies, these Bitcoin treasury companies, who adopt this policy, one thing they don't have is cash. It's very precious to them because they're loss-making. They need all the cash they can get. That's the one problem they have, because they're loss-making, some of them even pre-revenue, and they have no cash. They're desperate for cash. But if they get some cash and they put it in the bank, at least it's stable. The fact that now they're we're going to buy Bitcoin with it, assuming Bitcoin's always going to go up, Bitcoin has some amazing sell-offs. Amazing sell-offs. So if they have any cash to buy Bitcoin with, then what they've done is gone from a stable asset there of cash to putting it in a very volatile asset. If Bitcoin has one of these sell-offs, it'll wipe out their cash balance. And they can't get cash anyway. No one wants to fund them any money anyway. Who wants to raise money with these companies? So they are going to be wiped out. If Bitcoin drops like 10, 20%, which it can do overnight, these companies will be wiped out. So be careful. If Bitcoin goes on a tear and some of these companies haven't caught up, then maybe it's a chance to sort of have a little trade. But be careful. They've now swapped a stable, you know, asset, which is cash, for a very volatile one, which is Bitcoin, which goes down, even if they have any cash, you know. It's nonsense. These companies are nonsense. They're good for a mess around a trade. Don't pretend you're going to get rich with them. You're not. So they are a bit of fun. That's all they are. Don't treat them as a serious wealth creator. It's probably going to be the opposite, you know. So many companies changed their name to .com during the .com bubble. Most of those companies are no longer with us. Rest in peace. Amber heat alert issues for parts of England from Friday as temperatures soar. Just got that from the BBC there. So let's look at the quick clip of the markets. By the way, if you want to join the Share Pickers Investment Club, you can get it for less than £3 a week, which is like a one pint. Now, what's better for you? Learning about stocks and shares, learning about winners, potential investment ideas to increase your wealth, or chucking a pint down your gob? some of you are probably saying, chucking a pint down my gob. Yeah, it is, but you can keep doing that for the rest of your life. And do you know what? At the end of your life, you're never going to say, do you know what? I wish I'd drunk more beer. You don't hear that many say, you know, you don't see, on tombstones, epitaphs on tombstones saying, do you know what? Well, my one big regret in life is I didn't drink enough beer. But you do have many people regretting that they didn't learn more or improve their life in some way. So £3 a week, if you like the book, you can get it for that. And I think it's worth it because, listen, there are many, many excellent, I think, investment ideas on the site and backed up by fundamentals, not because they've adopted a Bitcoin treasury policy. Oh, it's funny. Here we are. This is crazy. Okay, let's do the markets. Sorry, I'm getting carried away here. So let's start off with the FTSE 100. It's up 0.16% to 8732. It's just come off a little bit because oil, of course, has come off a bit because the FTSE is, you know, got a lot of oil and gas in there. Big company was Shell. Apparently, it was going to take over BP. And they said, that'd be a good merger, that Shell taking over BP. But now they've said they're not going to take over BP. There's no merger talks. Anyway, FTSE 250 up 0.4%, 21,390. That's near, is it? No, the all-time high there is back in September 21, so it's not quite there. So way off that, yeah. But it's a recent high on 250. The FTSE small cap, that's at a high since 22. That's good. FTSE fledgling, this is an interesting one. FTSE fledgling has shot up from the lows in April. It's gone from 10,700 to 12,900, which is nice. And the FTSE AIM All Share. Come on, AIM. If I don't know why I champion AIM, because there's so much crap on AIM, absolute rubbish. But there are some very good businesses on AIM. That's the trouble. The bad ones, you know, give it a bad name. Because, of course, when investors lose money, they're shouting and screaming about it. And it tends to, you know, resonate more than others. Because, of course, if you're going to invest in Bitcoin treasury stocks and stuff like that, oil and gas explorers, all that kind of stuff, then it's going to be, it's an odds against bet. That's what it is. Let's look at commodities here. Brent crude, it's down 0.6% to 67.84. That was at $78 recently. Now it's down to $67. It's lost $10 in the last three sessions. What else we got? We got gold. Gold is going to go in this sideways range, I think, for a while. May even go higher. Central bank's still buying quite a bit of it. So that's at 0.3% to 3,354. The recent high was 3,450, pretty much. We got copper up, 2.9% a day, copper is. Well, that's making a move, actually, copper. Yeah, recent high was 10,876. It's now 11,154, which is good. I've heard the platinum is just hitting a massive rally, which is good because my wife's wedding ring is made out of platinum. Maybe we should get to sell that in a bit of cash. Yeah, don't worry, I'm just saying. Platinum's an all-time high. Sell your wedding ring. I wonder if she'd be happy with that. In fact, it doesn't fit at the moment. Her finger's gone fat. I don't know why that is. She's doing a lot of gardening. I don't know if she puts it down to that, but she can't get the ring on because there's a lot of gardening going on. Okay, Alice, bonds, 2-year government bond. It's down 0.4%. The yield is 3.845. 10-year, it's up 0.4%, 4.47. The 30-year is up 0.5% to 5.2. A pound will buy you €1.17 and will buy you $1.37. It's strengthening that. That's a high. Well, let's go back. That's the highest it's been since January 2022. So where's the Dixie then? The dollar is coming off. That is a low, yeah, since, we're going back, it's the same, March 22. The dollar is weakening. That is good for gold. Maybe that's why commodities go up. Okay, let's look at some microcap news. So companies I'm going to ignore. Build Cybernetics. Build Cybernetics. Buck is ticker, formerly known as Orchid Swank. You can see why they changed the name, can't you? That is a pile of Orchid Swank. That, yeah, it's basically not improving. Next, Myriad Advertising nonsense, absolute rubbish. I can't believe they existed so long. They luckily did raise a chunk of cash, along to the high cash burn, never improving, small revenues. Also, Techmar Group going backwards on the figures. Don't bother. So three companies I think worth looking at for today. I'll cover some others. Let's go to the microcap database on my website. These are all companies sub 100 million market cap that are commercial. And so check on the numbers, see if they're improving. So first of all, Maytech, market cap, what is it? About 45 million, enterprise value 37, so a decent amount of cash. And they did a trading update. They are a provider of digital data technology services, which enable central government, healthcare, local government organizations, and other regulated industries to digitally transform. And they release a trading update for the year ended 2025. So the 31st of May is their end date. They announced this ahead of expectations. They expect to deliver revenue of 46.4 million versus 38.6, which is a... What the noise was then? Why don't we? A funny noise. The forecast was 43, and they've done 46.4. Adjusted EBITDA, I do hate adjusted EBITDA. You tend to get companies just stating that if their you know, pre-tax profit is not impressive or they haven't got any. But nevertheless, this company is improving. 3.4 million versus 2.4. Forecast was 3. So 3 was forecast, 3.4. And their margins improved from 6.2 to 7.3. Net cash, 10.4 versus 7.6. 9.2 is forecast. That's good. They've got no debt. So for 2025, revenue's up by 20%. Net profit up by 173% to 1.8 million at 34 pence a share. They put on a forecast PE of 25. Not cheap, but they have decent growth. The SP popped on this news today. Maybe you want to look at if it settles down. So they do seem to be improving. But again, it's not cheap and margins at the moment are quite low. But nevertheless, it's a positive move. It's an improving company. Let's look at what's next. Manolet Partners. This has been through the mill a little bit. So market cap, 50 million. Enterprise value, 39. So they do have debt of about 11.7. Final results out today. And let's have a look what I'm saying here. The litigation, which is it's a tricky area. You know, these companies can have excellent years and really dreadful years. In fact, Lit is one. Is that one that's had an awful year of late? A litigation capital. Yeah, look at that. They were literally £1.20 a share in December. They're now 30 pence a share. Gapped down recently on a trading update or profit warning. But yeah, so these companies, you know, they can be a little bit risk prone, accident prone. well, it's appropriate, I suppose. Anyway, so final results were an improvement on 2024. Where they reported their highest ever revenue of 30.5 million and a strong increase in profitability well ahead of market forecasts. All key metrics improved. Revenue increased 16%. Profit before tax grew 30% to 1.35 million. Net debt reduced 10% to 11 million. And they achieved free cash inflow of 2.55 million versus outflow of -1.37. For 2026, revenue is expected to be largely flat, but growth in net profit is forecast to be up by 157% to 2.3 million at 90 pence a share. This would be a PE of 17, not cheap, nor expensive, really, especially if they hit the 2027 numbers, which sees further improvement. So maybe one to watch, but I don't really like the sector too much. It can be fraught with problems there. Next, Time Finance. Are you kidding? Look at the share price. I did say 2 days ago this. They said they had significant confidence of being at least in line with market expectations. I said, there's an upgrade happening here. It has happened. That's the seventh ahead of expectations. I do hold Time Finance. There's a heck of a lot of volume going through today. And it did jump up on the first. You can normally tell there's some seller in the background. So what happens, a big sell will go through, and it's suppressing the share price, okay? So it's not been sort of, worked through the book yet. But yet there's volume there. So if you look at the volume here today, average daily volume is about 190,000 shares, okay, a day. Today, 808,000. Now, this is an opportunity, I believe, because there's a seller, I believe, in the background. You probably see it that comes through later on the day or even after hours of a thing. It'll pop tomorrow. But I did say this will break resistance at 60-odd pence, 61 pence. And it did do that today, but at the 64 pence, and it's come back down to 61. I believe, do your own research. This is not investment advice. I own the company, so I'm obviously biased. Anyone who owns a stock is biased, okay, because your money's involved. And you can't see the objective. So let's look at the figures. Don't take my word for it. Let's look at the figures, okay? So they came out with another set of figures there. Double-digit revenue and profit growth plus margin expansion. Record revenues in Lending Book for financial year 24-25. Revenues are profitably ahead of market expectations. The seventh time they've done this since January 2023. So revenues are up 11% to 37 million. Profit before tax up 34% to 7.9 million. Profit before tax margin improved by 300 basis points to 21%. 21% pre-tax margin. Net arrears, which some people were unchanged at 5%. Now these are arrears, they're not write-offs. Write-offs are 1%. So the stable arrears, last year 5%, this year 5%. Net bad write-offs unchanged at 1% of the average gross lending book. So it's not a problem. So this means 2025 growth is expected to be revenue up 11%, net profit up 32% at 61 pence a share. This is a PE of 9.4. Now, the two companies I mentioned also improving. They are on a forecast PE of 17 and 25. This is 9.4. Time possesses growth, margin expansion, and value. Why is margin expansion important? Because they're growing and they're becoming more efficient. When you look at companies that can scale, that's exactly what you look at. Will this company be dragged down? Because you see something with revenue going up and their profit before tax goes down because they've had extra costs through sales or employing people. Time has not got that. Their margins are expanding as they're growing. This is one of the things that happens to multi baggers. They can keep getting bigger efficiently. So like I said, I think it's an opportunity today. There's obviously a seller in there because the volume's massive and the volume of buyers so far are massive, but it hasn't gone up. That to me says lurking in the background is a sell order being worked. Once that has been worked and is through, it'll pop. Do you know what? I hate to say, I told you so, but I did say, on Tuesday, I'll eat my socks and my hat. I'll eat my socks inside my hat and my pants, whatever, and my dog's dog food, if they aren't upgraded here. And they have been upgraded. But the only issue here is, of course, there's a seller in the background. Is that enough? Should I look for any some more? What didn't I cover when I was yesterday? Brave Bison. Very interested in this company. The Green Brothers, I think, are doing an amazing job. The momentum is huge. They've done 4 strategic deals since December. Okay? And the funding, the way they structure funding is quite clever. I think this is a company worth keeping an eye on. Part of me thinks it isn't a question of if this company does well, but when. They're going to be a bit of churn because they've just announced the acquisition of Mini MBA from Centaur Media. The purchase price was 5.3 times EV/EBITDA, which is decent. Mini MBA is expected to generate net revenue of 11 million and adjusted EBITDA of 3.6. I think they're on a mission to really become a significant sector player, Brave Bison. It's a changed company since before. Before there was a CEO manager in there with, to get paid a wage. These guys have skin in the game. And they're also well-connected. Their father's an eminent sort of business guy. And they are from... I interviewed Oliver Green once, and they are from Chelsea, Chelsea set. So they've got a lot of connected people with deep pockets. But nevertheless, without that, they seem to know what they're doing. Philtronic, it's done a blowout 2020. Well, in fact, let's have a look at Philtronic's. So they came out with, what did they come out with? What was it? Year-end trading update, notes of results. They are now at 333 million in market cap. Enterprise value 324, so a little bit larger than what I normally talk about. But the brokers upgraded 2025 estimates, but kept 26 unchanged. Changes are as follows. Revenue to 56.3, upgraded from 55. Adjusted EBITDA of 16.6, upgraded from 16.3. So 2025 numbers are now in the market. We've got the end of the year. Sooner or later, people will focus on 2026, which will not be an improvement on 25, which is understandable. 25 was an amazing year for Philtronic. Extraordinary year. However, unless they win some big contracts, which is not inconceivable, because they do tend to do this, the valuation is looking quite lofty at 48 times. At 154 a share, it's 48 times. It's okay having a P like this if your growth is stellar, but 2026 as yet does not show growth, and net profits is expected to drop by 47%. Of course, that could change with new contracts, but at the moment, it's looking a little bit expensive, and I think the time to invest in this company was, let me go back, let me get the chart here. The time to invest in this company was on the 6th of February, 2024. Why do I say that? Members of the ShareFix Investment Club who watched the webinar last night will know why. Anything else? ProCook. They are UK's leading direct-to-consumer specialist kitchenware brand. Now, normally I think, this is going to be a basket case. Market cap, 44 million. Enterprise value, 43. What did they come out with? Was it annual results? Yeah. PROC is the ticker. Delivered decent results, 35. Revenue increased by 11%, 69.5. Profit for tax grew 61% to 1.18 versus 730K. And they ended up with net cash position of 957K versus net debt last year of 750K. I don't have access to any broker notes here. So I've got some figures from TradingView. But 2026, it looks like revenue is expected to grow by 20% and net profit is forecast to increase by close to around 200% to around 3 million. This would put them on a forecast PE of 13 at 38 pence a share. Seems okay for this type of growth. However, it's a retail company selling kitchenware operating against a tough consumer backdrop. Maybe this makes the company results even more impressive because other companies in the sector are struggling. They say despite the continued macroeconomic and geopolitical challenges, our refreshed strategy and strengthened customer focus is beginning to deliver improved performance. And we have both the opportunity and a clear path to accelerate this further. It's rallied strongly from the 20 pence in April. In fact, where is it now? PROC. PROC. Come on, load the chart. My internet is dreadful. Apparently, we're going to be upgraded by the end of the year, which is nice. Oh, it's trying hard to break that resistance. It's 42 pence. It was 20 pence on the 7th of April, so it's rallied strongly, but it's now back to a previous sort of resistance level. It was at this level in January, and it didn't break it. But worth watching, I think, for a company who's you know, really seemingly outperforming their sector peers in a tough environment. That's a good sign. There we go. That's it. Don't forget, you can get 25% off the Shapeix Investment Club. It's less than £3 a week. Less than £3 a week. Which is what? How much is a pint these days? How much is a pint of beer? The price of a pint of beer, this is AI. You don't look at anything else, do you? That's killing Google. They're killing their own model, aren't they? Because people pay advertising on these things. So you know. So now you just look at the AI answer. There's going to be a huge change in this. Anyway, they're going to start monetizing this somehow. Anyway, the average price, have a guess, how much for a pint of beer across the UK? £5.44. Maybe I should up the membership of that. £5.44 a week. So it's equivalent to a pint. One pint a week. That's all it is. And rather than putting on calories, you put on knowledge. London average, £6.50. £6.50? Bloody hell, I went to London and bought a pint of lager. £6.50. I shall not buy the old pub one, buddy. Just me and the missus. So there we are. So go to sharepickers.com and click on About. There you can read a bit more about that. And like I say, you can get that for way less than half a pint of beer. Is it half a pint of beer, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, that's it. Thank you very much. Have a nice day, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.